Hey everyone, welcome to Two Scrums Up, a show where we share our successes and missteps, practicing Scrum in an agency environment. What works for us might not work for everybody. We do hope our stories and advice are helpful. I'm John Ragazine, and with me is Ken Medley. Hi, Ken.
Hey, John, and welcome everyone to today's podcast. We have a very interesting topic today that we want to cover. This is the topic of swarming and how it can be used in the Scrum environment, how it may add value to your team. So let's jump right in.
Yeah, absolutely. So swarming always reminds me of bees, I guess. You know what I mean? Which is kind of a scary thing for some people. But basically, the idea here is that if a team has an especially gnarly issue going on, or a complex deliverable, or a short timeline, swarming, which means everyone focuses on one thing, can sometimes get you to done sooner.
Yeah, that's, you nailed the idea right there. Everybody coming together, just like a swarm of bees on one thing. I wonder if there's a different analogy that could be used, because sometimes bees are scary to folks, especially if those are allergic or something.
Exactly. It's a little bit insensitive. So I've tried using flocking, but it just doesn't carry the same weight, and it's also kind of hard to say. So,
right. Got to be careful with that one.
It's almost as if we could say scrumming, because a rugby scrum actually is everybody all collected together. But for some reason, it's swarming. So we will forego the bee and hornet anxiety and just get right into it. Ken, I know that while swarming is something that we all push for, I think it's actually a norm on your team quite often. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. It is a norm on our team. There's a couple reasons that we do this, actually. Number one, we have this sort of like, it's not a hard and fast rule, right? But we say for whatever the top priority thing is on our team, whatever it is this sprint, we're going to swarm on it.
Okay.
Sometimes the most important thing for us is like one simple task that somebody can knock out. It's a really important thing, but you know, it's 5-10 minutes, doesn't need the whole team on it. But generally speaking, what we try to do is get the entire team to focus on that most important ticket. And it might be, you know, a dev task, you know, whatever the task is, right? For us, it's development work. So whatever that high priority task is, we swarm on it. It's scheduled time on our calendar that works for everybody. We open up a Zoom call. Everybody gets on, and we'll sometimes take turns sharing our screen, walking through a problem, and sometimes we'll just spend an hour, maybe 2 hours, working through a problem. This gives us a little bit of an advantage in a couple ways. One, we're knowledge sharing. So now everybody is familiar with the task that we're working on. We're helping each other with difficult problems, and it's funny. Sometimes, you know, when people watch you do your work, you sometimes get a little bit more nervous, you know?
Oh, man, I can't. I'm already a bad typist. And then if people are like, watch, I'm sharing my screen and I have to type, I can't spell anything correctly.
Right. So you can imagine how that is for developers, right? So sometimes we'll be swarming and we're like, why isn't this working? Like, what, this isn't? I was like, oh, you forgot to close your parentheses there. Like, oh, yeah, you know? So sometimes it's very, you know, simple, like little things like that. That we find that we can help unblock each other. But sometimes it's really big, difficult problems where we may only need to write like 2 lines of code, but we'll spend an hour talking about how we should do it, you know, the best way to do it. And just it gives the swarming allows us to have that conversation. And also it limits context switching. If we are jumping from I'm working on my task, oh, now John needs help, let me put my task down, go help John. And then 15 minutes later, I'm like, hey, John, I'm stuck on my thing. You know, can you come over and help me? Now you're putting down your task again, jumping over and helping me. If we just say, hey, John, for the first hour, let's work on your thing. And then later this afternoon, let's get on a call again and you can help me with my thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard it alluded to as concentrating fire on a problem or an issue, which again is like, I don't like all of these like seemingly anxiety inducing analogies and wordplays, but
concentrating the fire extinguisher on the fire.
Just really looking hard at the fire, everybody. No. But yeah, it's true. And I think one of the clutch things that you talked about with it is that it's not everyone doing the same task, like separately or whatever. It's everyone in the same space, be it a co-located conference room or a Zoom call or whatever. And what that allows you to do is really sort of like not have to do things like do work, then update the team, then do work, then up. Even that is context switching within a single task. Right. Instead, everyone's really working on it. Sometimes it's like one person is driving. One person is like doing the bulk of the actual typing out. But then it's like, hey, can you QA this? Hey, can you code review that? Hey, can you, communicate with the stakeholder or whatever, what's going on. But you're all sort of like, it's almost like mission control kind of. It's like everyone's together.
Right.
It's like the same thing like when you do a launch. When you do a launch, you tend to all like come together for it so that you can communicate right. in real time. And it just makes things so much more efficient. But what's interesting about swarming is it unlocks all of this benefit of a team. Some of it is just like, hey, this is an important thing. We're going to get done more quickly. And everyone has that context. And some of it is like knowledge sharing, pair programming type stuff. It's like, I really want to learn how to do this, but I can't. I'm afraid that if I do this task or take on this work by myself, I will be unable to get to done. Can we swarm on it? People who want to learn, people who know what to do, and kind of work through it all together. Not only talk about like how you do it, but why you make certain decisions. Because, you know, there's myriad ways to solve a client challenge or to deliver value at the end of the day. But you want to do so in the way that sort of like is most future proof, is most efficient, is most performant. And there's a variety of ways that you can like do the same thing. But when you start talking about like why you made this choice to use this filter hook or that database structure or whatever, it's really interesting when you feel like, oh, that's like 10 times more performant and it's the same amount of work. Like I never knew that, you know what I mean? And there's always yeah. those, I didn't know that you get from, you know, working with your teammates.
For sure. John, I'm interested. I shared a little bit about how we do things regarding swarming on my team, but what about yours?
Yeah. So there's two flavors of swarm that we do. One is sort of like planned swarms that come out of planning or daily stand-up or whatever, where the whole team is like, hey, we're working on this thing. It's kind of important to get it done quickly, or we can divide and conquer this work because you can do A and I can do B, and then we'll mesh it together at the end.
So are you all having that conversation in sprint planning?
Sometimes sprint planning, sometimes daily stand-up. It's like, hey, you know, I really want to get with somebody on this, you know? And so what I do is I call that the planned swarming, because I will like be like, I'm going to book a time for tomorrow or the next day or whatever. And we are going to focus on this for an hour, 2 hours, whatever it takes. Usually it's like in the morning a lot of times, because that's less busy okay. with interrupted yeah. phone calls. And we're all going to join this and we're going to figure it out. And anyone can come, like definitely like A, B, and C. But hey, D, E, and F, if you want to come too, that's awesome. Like the whole team can come if you want. And knowledge share and stuff like that. So that's sort of like the deliberate swarming. The other is sort of this like in the moment swarming, where someone is like in Slack typing and they're clearly having a challenge or they're stuck and they can't get beyond it. And someone starts like typing to help. And then they're typing back and forth. And like, which is great, except I know that if they're typing in Slack, they're not actually doing the things that they have to do. And so I'm like, hey, this is a great opportunity for a quick swarm. I'll make a Zoom call. We'll all hop on it. I'll just like stay quiet the whole time, but let's just talk in real time and get this thing done. And then we're over the finish yeah. line. You know, it's yeah, like looking for sure. those opportunities of swarming. And in fact, it's gotten so sort of like second nature is that sometimes all I will do is when people start talking about stuff, I'll just like emoji swarm. Like one of the various B types, like emojis, that the nice ones. I actually have one that I favor, which is a bee drill from Pokemon that like shows up. It's like these giant hornets or whatever, but they're a lot less scary than like, say, Oprah throwing bees at you. Yeah, exactly. They're for kids, you know, for kids. So, so that's sort of like, I signal to the team, like you should totally swarm. And if your, you know, Zoom account is busy or you want to talk for longer than like the free account, which is like 45 minutes, I have a pro account. I'll set it up. No problem. I'll be there if you want me to. And I can stay totally quiet the whole time. You know, just sort of like work alone together, but let's like, you know, get things over the finish line. So it's become like sort of like those two flavors, which is cool. I like how you all have normed it to be like, we're always doing this, like with regular, like every sprint, you're having at least one swarm with the whole team, right?
Yeah, we have a couple times that are on the calendar. Let me pull up my calendar and just look at it, make sure I'm giving you the right times here. Yeah, we have swarm times. So our sprints go from Wednesday to Wednesday, the 1 week sprints, Wednesday to Wednesday. So we will Thursday morning at our stand up, we'll talk as a team and say, you know, hey, does anybody have anything that they would like to swarm on? kind of like what y'all do, you know, kind of just get it out there, you know. We do that. We start our sprints Wednesday afternoon. So that gives folks time, you know, Wednesday afternoon, you know, they can start looking at tickets in the sprint by Thursday morning. They're like, oh, yep. Hey, I might need some help on this one. So I'll flag that for the team Thursday morning at stand up. So then those are just kind of impromptu, you know, Thursday, Friday, swarm times. If we need to just drop a note in Slack or whatever and just say, hey, is anybody available? When we start getting towards the end of our sprint, though, we have actual time on the calendar. So Tuesday, we have a designated swarm time where we're just say, hey, no matter what's going on, we're at least going to touch base. And there are times where Tuesday, you know, if we have had a good sprint, we're ending the sprint early, we don't need it.
Yeah.
But there are times like, yeah, I'm trying to get this thing across the finish line. Is anybody available, you know, to jump on and help? And then we do that again on Wednesday. Wednesday morning, kind of like, hey, we're going to stop the sprint this afternoon. Any last minute things that anybody needs help getting across the line? You know, that could just be something simple like, hey, I just don't think I'm going to be able to QA this thing. Is anybody available? Like you mentioned before, just doing code reviews, QA, those kind of things. But having that designated time on the calendar helps us just, you know, be a constant reminder, I guess, of saying, you know, okay, my team is here, available to help. Don't be afraid to use it.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and it's one of the core benefits of Scrum is that like you don't have, like you can don't have your tickets in the sprint. Like you do, like you're assigned primarily to certain things that you're going to work on with your team or whatever. But really, you know, it's they are the team's tickets. And so because of that, team collaboration is vital. If you have five individuals working separately inside of a shared sprint, they'll maybe get a lot of work done, but it won't be collaborative. It won't be as efficient or as productive as it can. And it won't be as innovative as it needs to be. So it sort of like really forces that team, you know, camaraderie and teamwork that is just so necessary, I think, to really like unlock the full potential of, you know, a group of people.
Yeah, it reminds me of a quote from J.J. Sutherland from Scrum Inc., specifically about Swarm.
Uh-huh.
He mentions he has never seen a high-performing Scrum team that hasn't consistently been using the swarming pattern. And I'm not sure where they got the data, but I'm sure from their various clients or whatever, but they cite a 20 to 50% increase in team efficiency.
Yeah, by which is using huge.
Swarming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I bet
even 20%.
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes up to 50 is insane. Right.
Which I bet you also like benefits team happiness and team buy-in and psychological safety. And that's, you know, where I wanted to go a little bit was that I understand that, you know, a lot of folks that we work with are, I think, want to be high performers. And with that comes a little bit of risk in asking for help. And, you know, we always are pushing folks like ask for help, raise blockers, things like that. But, you know, you want to make it seem like you're an asset that you can like totally like do anything, you know, like I am indispensable team. You know what I mean? So there's a little bit of there's a little bit of vulnerability that you need to be comfortable with to swarm appropriately, because asking for help can be a really hard thing for certain folks. How have you helped your team sort of like get over their imposter syndrome or like just paranoia or like, I just want to do, I can do anything. Just give me a second. You know what I mean? Like, I know I get that sometimes when I'm like, someone wants to help me. Like, say I'm even doing something like simple, like a crossword puzzle, and I'm stuck on some clues. They're like, hey, you know, my wife will be like, hey, like, you're like, why don't I look and we'll look at it. I'm like, no, just give me a minute. I just have to think really hard. Like, just give me a second because I want to do this myself. You know what I mean? Which is stupid. Like, yeah. I know that's like a hobby thing, but you know, when it comes to work, it's like, what did you say a couple of episodes ago? You said you quoted someone saying no one is smarter than everyone. And like, this is what it comes down to. It's like, don't be so precious. Don't be so prideful. Like, let's just all work together to get all this stuff done because it's a team win.
Yeah. There's another quote that, you know, says it's amazing what you can accomplish if you don't care who gets the credit.
Yeah. And that's what a team is all about. You know what I mean? It's like Scrum teams have velocity. Oftentimes folks are like, oh, what's my velocity? What's my personal velocity? And I understand them wanting to know that, and they could figure that out by looking in Jira and like doing some math, but I'm not going to like do it for you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to regularly report on like, hey, Steve, you got like, you know, X number of points done. Good job. Like, cause it's not that. Like, this Steve, this fictional Steve, actually cannot do anything on his own, because even if he writes all the code, it has to get code reviewed. It has to get QA'd. It has to get past the client. It has to be presented to the client and demoed. And like, it's not a one man show or a one person show. Sure. And so like, the sooner you get over yourself a little bit, I think the sooner you can really like start unlocking all of this potential from swarming, which is always exciting when the teams do it themselves. When people are like, let's swarm on this. Or devs call it rubber ducking sometimes, where it's just like, I just want to say out loud what I'm trying to do. And you might figure it out by the end of your speaking, but you need that other person to do that with, to like really like be able to like solve your problem.
We do that on the podcast too, that, you know, our listeners don't even hear sometimes, where we're like, you know, okay, John, I got this idea I want to talk about, and it's swarming, and how should I, okay, da, 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 da. And even just by me just saying it, I'm like, okay, yep, that was it. I'm going to go back and re-record it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, if only I could edit my real life the way that I can edit like a cohesive show, I would be a brilliant person.
Hey, John, how was lunch?
It was good, Ken, but I was talking to some friends of mine. They work at this other company, and they're on a scrum team. They're trying to get work done, but because they say that estimation is too hard using Slack or Zoom, they're just having one person do all the pointing for the entire team.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Did you tell them about HelperBot?
HelperBot? What's that?
There's a better way. HelperBot is a friendly Scrum assistant that enables your team to do planning poker estimation directly in Slack. It's perfect for distributed and co-located teams alike. Using HelperBot is simple. It works with Jira too.
Oh, so instead of like holding up fingers on a Zoom call or using planning poker cards or just dumping out the whole thing and having one person estimate, you can have the entire team estimating in real time in Slack?
You nailed it. Have your friends go to helperbot.ally.co, where they can sign up to be a free beta tester.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Let me go to that website right now. Oh, here it is. Spend more time planning and less time pointing with HelperBot.
Well, to answer your question, how do we make that, I guess, more attainable on our team? Of course, it is difficult to ask for help. And, you know, of course you can do anything, you know, if you really put your mind to it, all that, all those kind of things. We want to be indispensable and things. There's a couple things that I think can be done to kind of head that off early. One is you mentioned it before, but just the process itself. Don't set up your processes on your team to where one person can do all of the work. You know, if one person picks up the ticket, develops it, code reviews it, QAs it themselves, pushes it to production all by themselves, then you're setting up that hero mentality.
Right.
Don't set up your processes in a way that can do that. Well, like you said, you know, somebody else has to code review it. Somebody else has to QA it.
Yeah.
You know, just don't, you know, think through your processes as a team and like, is there any way that somebody could be a hero? And just change your processes to avoid that. Mm-hmm. The other thing that came to mind was metrics. What are you measuring? Sure, there are people that want to know like how much velocity am I contributing? What are my personal numbers and those kind of things? But I don't really measure that on my team. I could probably go find that information, you know, dig through some reports somewhere and find that stuff. But what am I worried about? Team-based metrics. What is our velocity? How did our team perform? Not, okay, David, this is what you did. You know, okay, Kelly, this is what you did. You know, we're not going to the individual level. So we're looking at team-based metrics. And so those kind of some things that are sometimes hidden in organizations where, you know, the metrics are your performance. What's your kickback rate? Mm-hmm. What's your velocity? Avoiding those altogether, I think, can go a long way. at breaking that down on your team and have it more focused on the team versus just individuals.
Yeah.
The other thing too, I think, is over time, just showing, you know, just showing your team, hey, this is safe. This is okay. If you ask for help, it doesn't result in some write-up. It doesn't result in some sort of, you know, policy violation because you asked for help, right?
Yeah, can you imagine?
You're coming to the team saying, I am trying to help. I am trying to deliver value, and I am stuck. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all, you know, and to go
it'll
back
make
to
the whole team
like,
better. It'll make, I mean, if you're familiar with the term ball hog, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, you could be an amazing athlete. You could be able to score under the tightest of defenses or whatever. But if you're never passing the ball, if you're never assisting the rest of the team, like you all aren't going to win as a team. Like you may have great personal stats, but your team stats are going to be in the, you know, in the basement. And that's not the point. And some folks are very sort of like me first. And I get it, you know, like be who you're going to be. But if you're going to be inside of a scrum team that's functional, which we all want to achieve, then you have to be like, not that, you know, you have to be at the same level as everyone else. And you have to be, make sure everyone succeeds. A rising tide lifts all ships. I don't care how you're doing. If everyone else on the team is having a very hard time or not getting things done or not getting things reviewed. Like we see that a lot, even from like a non code stance necessarily, but like if QA starts stacking up and I see like the QA is falling on, you know, maybe me or our PO or like some members of our team or whatever. And other folks are like, hey, I have no work. Like, what am I supposed to, I guess I'll just like go and look at next sprint and see what I can do. And I'm like, you could, but like, take a look at QA first. Is there some QA stuff you can quickly knock out? Cause it's like it's just a time bottleneck. You know what I mean? Yeah. Sometimes we'll find ourselves in like, I'll have calls for the next 3 hours. You know what I mean? Like several different clients or projects or initiatives or whatever. And I can't get to that, to QAing a simple thing that has to go out the door. My team could do that simply. So it's like looking at what the whole team needs and focusing on that. And sometimes it's swarming around a code challenge. Sometimes it's just swarming around the process of a feature getting out the door. And all of that is a great way to sort of like pitch in and prove that you're, you know, a valuable team member.
Do you have any examples on your team of how swarming has helped to get something across the line?
Yeah, you know, and actually, timely enough, we swarmed last night because we had to. There was an unexpected editorial issue with one of our client sites that we just it never came up through testing or user testing or up until this point. And all of a sudden they're like, hey, we're doing a new thing with one of our features and we can't do X. We're like, yeah, oh no, like, what are we going to do? And so rather than like me saying like, hey, developer A, like fix it. We got together, it was myself. It was two devs, even though only one dev was really pushing code around and talking through like, what's going on? How can we fix it in a way that is timely? What are the dangers? What are the risks? What are the concerns? And we were able to talk about all of that in real time. It's sort of that like, again, like I come back to mission control when everyone's like, okay, we're going to do this thing. This is what we have to worry about. Like you go here, I'll go there. You say this, I'll say that. And, you know, we were able to make a plan to meet an editorial deadline, which was today, as a matter of fact, time of recording, and also have plans for like how we can make this seamless for the next feature and when that is. So it like was a problem came up quickly. We, three of us on the team, so a third of the team, focused on it. Talked about it, figured out a short-term fix and a long-term fix, documented everything. Client is happy. We're happy. And hopefully that their readers of their site will be happy as well.
Right. Swarming. Yeah, swarming for the win on that one for sure. You know what? You were mentioning mission control and made me think of a time back when I was in the military. What feels like 100 years ago now.
Yeah.
We would, and you mentioned mission control, so this is where my mind went. We would, prior to us going and doing a mission, we would all get in a room. The leadership would give us our briefing. We're going here. We're going here. You know, this is what the plan is. You know, the plan of attack. You go here. You do this and da-da-da-da-da, right? And then there came a point to where one of our officers, I don't know if they had a scrum background or not, or if this was just, you know, common sense. A lot of Scrum is just common sense. Maybe this officer just had a lot of common sense. But he got us up out of our seats, and we all kind of stood around this big map and kind of a model of where we were going, right? And he said, I want everyone to take your rank off your, you know, off your uniform. They're just like little Velcro patches. And you just take your rank off and put them in your pocket, and everybody speak freely. Does anyone have any better ideas?
Perfect.
And then finally, you know, one of the lowest ranking people there, but you wouldn't know that because remember they took their rank off, said,
yeah.
A few weeks ago, we were in a similar situation, and this is what we did. And it might apply here. And that got the conversation going to where everyone around the table all of a sudden didn't care about the rank.
Yeah.
Didn't care about, you know, okay, am I going to say something, you know, that's embarrassing in front of my leadership, you know, the boss is here, that kind of thing. We just solved a problem and found a more efficient way to do this mission.
Yeah.
And in my mind, that was an example of swarming.
It is.
Where the whole team just gets together and says, hey, this is a better, safer way to do it. And it may not, you know, it may not go down the way that we hope, right? Because in, you know, in the military, some things change, you know, drastically all the time.
I can only imagine, yeah.
Yeah. However, it was really interesting, though, just to go through that experiment of like, okay, hey, everybody, just get up out of your seats. Come over here. Take your rank off. Doesn't matter. Just speak freely. Let's just solve this problem. Here's what we got to do. Does anybody have any ideas? And sometimes on a Scrum team, it's the same thing. You know, there is no team boss. So everybody, there is no rank. You know, we're just all looking at this problem going, okay, the client needs something to change. We're on a short deadline here. Something has changed in the real world. Maybe a third party vendor has changed something, an API. We have to update our, you know, whatever the situation is. Does anybody have any ideas? Because I'm totally at a loss here, you know.
I think that's great. And like what your story shows is not only, you know, swarming and focusing on a single problem as a team, but also the military obviously is a very hierarchical organization for a reason. But your CO made that situation psychologically safe. There were no ranks for that moment. And even if it was just a gesture, it was a visible one, and y'all got a I mean, the stakes are so high in that instance that, like, it's really interesting, you know, like it's, you know, swarming as a concept, like, I understand, like, you know, we're talking through like how to facilitate it, how to do it, but just think about, like, you know, a really simple example from home. It is bath time, bedtime cycle for my son and his monster trucks and Legos and dinosaurs are everywhere. Do you be like, clean up your stuff and then go take a, like, or you say like, let's make a game out of cleaning up our things. And like, because you know how it is when a kid has to do a thing that they don't want to do, even if it's fun, they could kind of rally against it. They want to be independent. And sure, so yeah. Like, instead you make it like this really fun, like, game. It's like, who can clean up the fastest? And both of y'all,
yeah,
I do this all the time. And we both clean up, and not only like does the place look great, but he has so much ownership over it now that, like, mm-hmm. It's become almost a habit, and it was a pleasant experience. So all it is like, you know, two heads are better than one. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. There's nothing really super cryptic about swarming. Just when you can bring a team together, bring a group of people together in real time to solve a single problem, and you'll get done quickly. Twice the completion in half the time. It's funny, Ken, that you mentioned the show earlier when we sort of have these ideas, you and I, about what we should talk about. And we do a quick, you know, a quick brainstorm session or whatever, even at the start of recording. We have lots of stuff that's on the cutting room floor digitally of like us talking through what we should be focusing on over the next episode. But, you know, the podcast itself has been really interesting, I think, because it's a Scrum Agile podcast. And what we wanted to do was we wanted to get things out the door as quickly as possible. Like, we wanted to like get to market just like a Scrum team. We wanted to do that stuff and then iterate, complete an episode and then iterate. And we did that really well at first. But it quickly became apparent that just the two of us trying to like push things ahead wasn't enough. We needed more help. So we formed a Scrum group around the podcast itself. And honestly, like, it includes everyone who is at Allie, but most specifically, it's you, myself, and our chief operations officer, Bridget McNulty, who is like the OG scrum master of Allie and has been here for a long time, and is amazing. But what that really allowed us to do was, like, you know, I wanted to figure out how do we make our workflow from idea to published episode of the podcast more streamlined, simpler to work through. And I had all these ideas and I had all these like machinations, and I was just getting in our own, I was putting things in our way. I was putting needless red tape in and I wasn't thinking about it the right way. And you were throwing out ideas and I was throwing out ideas, and we're like, we'll just kind of do it. And we'll just kind of put our noses to the, like, we were totally not being, well, we were being collaborative with each other, but we were sort of like, let's just work hard and it'll all come together.
Yeah,
and
then it'll, like, be great. No,
it'll
worries.
Be great. You're gonna do great. but what quickly became apparent is that, like, we needed another brain. You know, we needed another person to, like, look and be like, hey, we can organize things this way, and hey, maybe we'll do this with our project management software to, like, make things more visible, and, like, just a quick conversation on, like, this issue. You know, we came together and we swarmed on it, and it helped so much. You know what I mean? And even it was like only one new person, like, it helped all of us look at something in a different way and get creative in a different, you know, faculty. And I found that to be really helpful.
Yeah. When you and I, you know, you're on your team doing your thing and we're kind of doing this podcast thing on the side, and I'm on my team trying to, you know, scrum master my team and doing this podcast thing on the side.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it really hard when we have ideas. A lot of the times it just kind of live on sticky notes on my desk or something, you know, and I'll drop a note to you in Slack or something, or mention something in passing that in my brain I have the full context for, but you don't, you know, because you're not in my head, you know. So I'm like, hey, John, I think it'd be really cool if we did an episode on this, and I've got all kinds of notes for it. I'll tell you more about it later. And you're like, oh, okay. Well, that sparks something in your mind, and you go off and you're, you know, hey, I'm going to think about this thing and this thing. What if we did this thing? And I'd say like 98% of the time we'd come back together and be like, yep, we're thinking the same thing. But there are times, you know, where we were like, should that be an epic or should that be a ticket then?
Like, oh, it's the minutiae that you get mired down in. Like, how do we make this like, because we're both process oriented people. That's why we do what we do. And we want to make it as like, you know, that workflow needs to just be humming. And it's like,
right.
And we tried several workflows, I think, just between the two of us, and it wasn't clicking, you know?
Yeah. But to have Bridget step in, get us on a call that we're just going to swarm on this for a while and we're going to solve this problem as a team. We would, what did we spend? Maybe an hour, 45 minutes on a call?
I think it was 45 minutes tops. And it was like, the world was our oyster, like everything.
Yeah. And now we're way more efficient at our processes, you know, getting ideas on paper, you know, on a doc, on a shared doc, right? We've got tickets in Jira for different things that we can add to, and, you know, show notes, all these kind of things, right? Because we spent 45 minutes. Now, we did have to go off, and that's something I want to hit on too, is how long should a swarm be? Should be long enough to solve the problem. That could mean everybody on a Zoom call for 2 hours, sharing a screen, you know, going through a workflow, solving a development problem, whatever. But there are times, like for us, where we met for 45 minutes and said, oh, this makes so much sense. I'm so glad we just had this face-to-face conversation. Okay, John, you're going to go and you're going to do this in the backlog. You're going to create these tickets, these stories. I'm going to go create these Google Docs. I'm going to go do this. And it's the same on a scrum team, you know. We say swarming, like everyone is working together, but that doesn't mean they have to be in the same conference room. They don't have to be on the same Zoom call. It's just working on the same problem at once. So that could be, you know, hey, I've just solved this development problem. Great. Now I'm going to go write the end-to-end test or the unit test for these, and I'll sync back up with you in an hour. It doesn't have to be physically, you know, or virtually in the same room all the time, but it should be long enough that you're solving the problem to get it to meet your definition of done.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's as soon as that call ends or that meeting is over, everyone knows exactly where they're going, exactly what they're doing, and knows exactly when they're going to report back onto it. And so, you're solving the problem in the same time. sometimes in the same space, sometimes just separately, you know, work alone together. Bridget says that all the time. And that's what I'm thinking about. It's like, we're going to make this done. We're going to get this over with today. I may need some time to go heads down and really think through some stuff, but we're going to come back and it's going to be over. And that's swarming.
So, John, you work with a lot of clients. So what happens when you tell a client, hey, we're going to swarm on this thing? And the client comes back and go, whoa. I want everybody working on something different. We'll get way more done that way. Why would you have two people, sometimes three, four, five people all working on one ticket? Like, no, that doesn't sound very efficient to me. Don't do that. What would you say?
Yeah. And so, you know, obviously it will depend on the sequence, but you know, what we want to say is like, we're going to make sure that we get this taken care of first. I always couch it as team, you know, even when working with clients, sometimes clients will be like, oh, can like that developer work on this? Cause that developer is so good because they had a good experience with that person most recently.
Sure.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, the team's going to take care of it. No problem. And I may say like, you know, this person is like taking point on it or whatever, but it's really the team working through it. We're going to get done sooner, and it's going to be just a much better product in the end. The value you're going to get, you know, equals the amount of people that are in there. You know what I mean? Do you want 5x value or do you want 1x value that takes longer to get there?
Yeah, there's always the naysayers out there. And sometimes it's just, well, just watch. You know, sometimes that's the best answer is just watch. Just see what happens.
Yes. Wait for it. And boom.
Thank you for joining us today. Two Scrums Up is hosted by Ken Medley, me, an Agile Process leader at Alley, as well as the Director of Agile Process, John Ragazine.
Our logo is by Kelsey Lakotas, and our theme music is by Chris Montgomery.
Two Scrums Up is a podcast distributed by Alley. Learn more at alley.co. John, I thought maybe today we could swarm on the Fibonacci number of the day.
Okay, that's cool.
What do you think it ought to be?
I think it ought to be 144.
144? Why?
It's the next one up that I know. That's like the last one that I know by heart. So.
Okay, 144. I like it.
Buck 44. That's 12 squared. Is it?
Let's carry the 7. Move the decimal.
I'm right.
Yeah, it
I'm
totally right. Is. Yeah.
Nailed it. Yeah. Thank you.
12 squared.
Thank you, fourth grade math. All right. Thanks, Ken, for taking time today. I will swarm with you again another time.
See ya.